It's time for a pause in your day. Welcome to a podcast where we press the pause button on our busy lives for a few moments, and we focus on God's Word with Sharon and Nicole. We pray this is a time of refreshing for you. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries.
Welcome to Sweet Selah Moments. We are starting a brand new season today. Sharon, it's hard to believe this is our 10th season. How did that happen?
I know. I feel like we just started the podcast.
I know.
So weird. Time goes way too fast, and the older I get, the faster it goes.
I've heard that. I'm starting to feel it.
Oh, man.
Well, we are calling this season the Selah season, and this is episode 141, Dealing with Enemies. We will be looking at passages in the Bible that use that tricky word Selah in them. Because the Hebrew spelling of Selah leaves out vowels, people pronounce the word differently. Some say Selah, and some say Selah. Why did we choose Selah, Sharon?
Well, it's pretty random, actually. My friend Lois helped me start this ministry, and we had no title for it. We had nothing at the beginning, and we used to exercise together in the morning. And so we're just exercising with this little tape, you know, in my basement. And Lois said, I have the name of your new ministry, which I wasn't even sure I was going to do. Right. She said, Sweet Selah. Because she knows I love the word sweet. I think things are sweet. And she knows that I talk about quiet times, Selah times, right, all the time. So she put the words together. And then we went back and forth, Sweet Selah, Sweet Selah. Mm-hmm. And I just like the sound of Sweet Selah better. Yeah. This, the sound of it. So that's why, just because of the sound.
It's very profound. I love it.
So, but let's back up a bit. What is, Nicole, a Selah?
Yes. What does Selah mean? So it's, I looked it up because I don't actually know off the top of my head. It's probably either a liturgical musical mark or an instruction on the reading of the text with the meaning of stop and listen, which is kind of cool. Yeah. Another thought is that Selah can be used to indicate that there is to be a musical interlude at that point in the psalm. And so we find it mostly in the psalms in the Bible.
Yes. Yeah.
So it can be either one of those things.
Isn't that something?
But I love the stop and listen.
Yeah,
fits so well with the heart of our ministry.
It does. That's why it was just such the perfect word for us, because stop and listen to the Lord is the whole heart of Sweet Selah. The fact that we can get so busy doing that we forget to be, just be with Him. I so love Selah times, Nicole. Mm. They've become the fuel from which I work.
Yes.
I'll never forget when I read Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, Sacred Rest, and she shared a discovery she had that was kind of like a what moment for me too. Okay, so here's her thought. It's not original with me, and I'm sure many people have thought it before because it's right from the Bible. But anyways, God creates the world in 6 days. He works for 6 days. And on the sixth day, His work was creating male and female. The very first full day of Adam and Eve's lives, therefore, was the seventh day, which was the day of rest.
Yeah.
So before Adam and Eve got going on whatever jobs they had in the Garden of Eden, they rested first. I just think that is so fascinating. Before they tended the garden, they got to rest. So out of rest comes our work. We get it backwards. We work and work and work and try to earn rest. But God wants us to rest, be filled up with Him and replenished, and then out of that fullness, then we can work.
Yes.
Isn't that so backwards and lovely?
It's so beautiful.
And it gives me permission to rest when the work's not done, because I clearly need a break so I can work more. Mm-hmm. And that means rest. So, all right, we're going to start each of these episodes in the Selah season with a Selah lesson. This is so fun. I feel like this is going to be my favorite season ever because I get to talk about Selah every single episode. So each Selah lesson is going to feature a word beginning with the letter S that tells us something about how to pause, how to stop, how to do a Selah. I had so much fun with this. You would not believe how many S words work with Selah.
That's so fun.
It was really cool. So let's start with our first Selah lesson. Nicole, our word of the day is?
The word of the day is silence.
I love it.
This will be fun.
Yes.
So silence. Wow, that is a hard thing to find, isn't it? Our world mm-hmm. is so noisy. My kids are noisy. My puppies are noisy. Traffic's noisy. Everything's noisy. Recently at my kids' school, they had Teacher Appreciation Week, and they gave the opportunity to the parents to sign up to cover a teacher's lunch break Aww. During the day so they could go and enjoy a little treat they prepared for them in the teacher's lobby. Uh-huh. So I show up to cover for a seventh grade teacher's lunch, and I'm, oh, are you going down to get an ice cream sundae? And she goes, no. I'm able to go sit in silence in a classroom all by myself. She's like, I just want to sit and have some silence.
That is so beautiful.
And I was so touched by her heart for needing that silence. She has a very loud, busy class of seventh graders. And that poor woman wanted 35 minutes of silence. But I think that was so, it's so indicative of how special silence is. We don't appreciate it until we've come from this place of chaos and noise. And I think that after you've been in a classroom of children or a house full of children or a noisy party or a busy church, there's something so beautiful and restoring about silence. Yes. I don't hear God when I'm covering a lunch break at seventh grade. I don't hear him when my kids are all talking and fighting in the van on the way to places. I hear him in the silence.
Yes.
There's something so beautifully healing that happens when I find true silence, just sitting there with him. It takes me a few minutes to get my brain silent, for sure.
True. Yes, that is true.
It's still buzzing yeah. and going, what's going on? Think, what's the next thing? So after I've calmed my mind and my body, silence is such a gift from him.
Isn't
I can
it?
Hear him speak to me yeah. and I'll sit there and say, okay, what do you have for me? And he'll bring things to mind that I need to confess uh-huh. or praise him for uh-huh. or just revel in, oh, you've redeemed me. I am fully yours. Mm. Oh, you love me. Look at that little bird, or look at that flower that's blooming near my porch for you, you know, that you've made for me. Uh-huh. There's such a beautiful closeness that comes from just sitting with him in silence.
Yes. Oh, I so agree with you. I feel like our poor little brains get a workout all day long, just separating
Constantly.
Noises, figuring out which noises we have to listen to.
Yes.
And busy, busy, busy. And then I love podcasts. I don't only do a podcast. I like listening to them. But that's noise
yes.
still. And every once in a while, like every day, my brain needs a break. And
yes.
you're right. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking of Elijah, where he finally got to hear God, and it wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the, you know, God had all these loud things happen.
Right.
And then he heard God's voice as a whisper in the quiet.
I do love that
Silence
story.
Is important.
Yeah.
And I think just mentally, our brains need to take in less information sometimes.
Yes.
Right?
I think she talks about that in her book. Like
she
it's
does.
Just our ears process so much, our brains process.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
same thing, I have music on constantly, Sharon. Good music, uplifting music.
Yes.
Listening to music in my car, listening to a podcast, listening to audiobook. But I've been training myself to sit in silence more because it's so important for my body physically, but also for my soul.
It is. Yes,
it just needs silence.
Yes. And when God whispers, needs to be quiet. I
yes.
mean, he can talk to us anytime. And
oh,
he does.
Yeah. And he does but, find us in the crazy.
Right. But there's something special about silence.
There
so
really,
that's
really
our
is.
Word for the day.
I love it. It's a
so,
good one.
But before we move to our psalm passage, I found the most beautiful definition of Sila from Martin Luther,
oh.
the original Martin Luther
wow.
from centuries before. Not because I was reading Martin Luther. I'm not that...
In your spare
let's,
time.
let us be totally truthful here. Sharon is not reading Martin Luther manuscripts. But I found this quote that I just thought was so good because he describes the Sila. And Martin Luther was the one that said the Bible should be translated into everyday people language.
Yes.
And he did it in Germany. So he says this about Sila. He calls it a punctuation mark of the Holy Spirit.
Ooh.
Whenever we find it in the Psalter, the Holy Spirit wants us to pause and ponder.
Mm.
There he wants to touch and enkindle our heart for particularly deep meditation.
Ooh,
isn't that
is
beautiful?
So beautiful.
Enkindle our heart for particularly deep meditation. So when we're reading the Psalms, when there's a Sila, let's obey it. Let's stop and say, what do you want me to learn from what I just read?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like God says, shh, stop and think about that. Don't just read through it fast.
Right, right.
Pause, ponder. So that is what we're going to do this season. We're going to look at the Psalms and also Habakkuk and ponder why there's a Selah in each passage of scripture and think about it together out loud.
I love that.
Isn't that fun?
This is going to be so much fun.
So, okay, let's move to our Psalm today, and this will start our Selah season. We're going to be reading Psalm 3. Let's read it straight through, and then we're going to read it by Selah sections, pausing when there's a Selah.
All right, so normally we read from the New Living Translation here on the podcast because it's one of the easiest translations to listen to when the text is read aloud. It reads like a good book, doesn't it?
It does.
I love that translation.
It does, yeah.
But the NLT has removed the word Selah.
I'm so offended.
Sharon's favorite word. How could they? And replaced it with the word interlude, which doesn't have the same ring to it. So we chose the ESV, the English Standard Version, for this season's readings. And I'm going to start with Psalms 3, verse 1. So a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. I love the little note that tells you what it, like what you're going to read.
I know, so you can kind of picture where yeah. you're at. Yeah.
So verse 1 says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me.
Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah.
But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head.
I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Selah.
I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me.
I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around.
Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek, and you break the teeth of the wicked.
Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Selah. So, okay, we're going to dissect it now. This psalm actually was written when David was running away from his son Absalom, who had decided to try to take his father's throne a little bit early and without his father's permission. So David's old, and he's had to pack up a household with all his wives and kids and literally run away out of Jerusalem ahead of his own boy, his own son, so he could protect his women and his children. He had an army, it says, thousands of people arrayed against David, who had loved his people all his life.
I know. Can you imagine the betrayal he must have felt?
I can't.
To have his own son turn against him like that. That cuts deep.
It stings super badly.
It does.
It really does. It really does. And you know, the way David always deals with grief is the way he processes is through poetry and song, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so he's writing this on the run. He's probably crossed whatever river he crossed, and he's in this hiding place waiting for Absalom to come and attack him. And he's writing out his feelings. That's what we're reading.
Right.
Isn't
that
something?
So beautiful. I wonder if he had a travel notebook for his ponderings. I wonder how he actually wrote. Like, they didn't have nice little spiral-bound notebooks.
I know. Yeah. He must have brought something with him.
Yeah.
But that would be David. He'd bring writing materials, right?
Because it was important to him. He said that was who he was. He loved writing and writing songs.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Interesting. Well, let's look at what David had to say. So I'm going to read Psalm 3, verses 1 through 2 again. And then we'll pause and look more deeply at why we think there was a Selah place there.
Okay.
So, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. So I'm thinking that sometimes we rush too quickly past the pain and past our troubles.
That's interesting.
You know, sometimes we're quick to find, for myself personally, I like to get to the fixing part, to the hope in the situation, to the end of the current pain.
Yes,
so I tend to rush through it and fix it on my own. And I think the Selah here, he's stopping and pausing, and he's being honest with his situation before the Lord.
Yes.
Many are my foes. Many are rising against me, and they are saying this of me, that there's no salvation. He's pouring out his heart to God. He's stopping to be realistic about the trouble he's in.
Mm-hmm.
He's being honest with God and honest with himself about this is pretty bleak. He doesn't jump right ahead to, hey, God, get me out of this. I think this is what the best solution is.
Yeah.
So it's a good moment to kind of sit and just realize that on my own, I'm in trouble.
Deep trouble. Exactly.
There's no quick escape from this. God, help me.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the truth telling there. Mm. I've got a lot of foes, and they're telling me that God's not going to help me, basically. There's no salvation from God. So there's a lie right there, and he's bringing that lie to God. This is what I'm being told. It's over. It's over. Your son is going to take over the country, basically, right? Right. And, you know, I've always loved this quote from Ella Montgomery, the Anne of Green Gables lady.
Yes.
And one of her characters says it. I can't remember who, but they say this: despair is turning your back on God. Ooh. And what they're telling David is, give up. There's no salvation. And yet, what does David do? He doesn't despair. He doesn't turn his back on God. He goes to God and says, they're saying there's no hope in you. He's talking to God. He hasn't turned his back. He's just speaking it.
I love that he took that right to him too. Hey, did you hear what they're saying? Mm-hmm. They're saying that I don't have salvation through you.
Yep. That's what they're saying.
Right.
Yep. So it goes right. It's like people saying, don't tell your parents, and the kid is smart enough to go tell the parents.
Just going to say that. Yeah. Like, Daddy, did you hear what they said about you? They said you couldn't do. Yeah. I think that's so beautiful.
I
that
love
relationship.
It. Exactly. Yeah. I can just say, did you hear what they said about? That's cute. I love it. Okay. So that's our first Selah. And it was a great place to stop and to sit in the pain. Yeah. I think that was very wise of you to say that. I like that. Okay, so the next two verses, 3 and 4, before we have another Selah, are this. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Selah. Just think about that, people.
I like that.
So David almost has, in my opinion here, defiant faith. They've said, God's not going to help you. It's over. There's thousands coming against you, and you're old and you're weak and your time is over. And David defiantly says, oh yeah, they can say that, but you're my shield, you are my glory, you lift my head. I am not going to bow down my head in despondent depression. I'm going to lift it up and declare who you are. And then he cries out loud and God answers. So there. Isn't that beautiful?
That's so great. And I love, he answered me from his holy hill. God heard him and he answered him.
Yes.
He did. He's not a far off, distant God. He's right there pain, in the stress,
right,
in the tense situation with thousands coming against me. He's right there in the midst of it with us.
And it's not like it was solved.
No. He was still in the thick of it.
Right. But he's okay. He's lifted his head. He's brought his problem to his daddy, basically, his Abba.
I love that. I could just picture grabbing his face gently and hold it with my kids when they're sad and their little faces are down. I just cup their little cheeks and pick up their face and I kiss their nose. And I could just picture God, the lifter of my head. He lifts up our face to him. Like, look at me. Don't look at what's around you, but look at me.
Right.
Like, oh,
exactly.
That's so beautiful.
Beautiful. So yes, of course there should have been a Selah there. Let's stop and think about that.
I like that part a lot. I like that better than the first section. So the last section now is verses 5-8. It says, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek, and you break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Selah. Ooh, I like this part too.
Just keeps getting better.
It starts out, he lay down and slept. He went to sleep. He's got everything going on around him. He presents his trouble to the Lord. He remembers who his hope is in. And then he takes a nap.
Isn't that beautiful?
What a peace that we can only get from God. There's no way we can sleep when we're troubled.
Yeah.
We get the worst nights of sleep in our life when we're struggling with a really serious problem. Exactly. Our bodies cannot sleep when we're stressed or anxious or nervous. This is incredible.
It is.
The testimony of God's peace that he was able to lay down. He woke again, for the Lord sustained me. He gave him the glory for that sleep.
Yep.
He is not afraid. And then he goes and says, he's going to break their teeth and strike their cheeks. And
My father's going to take care of me.
He's coming and he's going to take care of
That's
it. And I can rest in him. So, such a beautiful ending.
Isn't it?
That song.
Yep. And then the last declaration, you know, he can't save him. Salvation belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
God is the Savior and he's brought it to the Lord. And God answered. I don't know what God said to him, but
it calmed him down.
He got to sleep.
That's so neat.
Isn't that lovely? And then it even at the end, there's a Selah. It's like, okay, so don't move on to the next song yet.
Right.
Let's just think about who has salvation. Mm-hmm. Who's the Savior here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's God. This is why we don't have to worry. We're not in charge. We're really not. Even if, and I personally have never had thousands of people come out against me.
Right.
You know? And yet there it was, even with that, David trusted.
Mm.
It's just, I love it.
It's a beautiful format because he presented his problem.
Yep.
He rested in the fact that he gave it to God. And then he was confident in the outcome being favorable for whatever it was, but he gave that to God as well.
He did.
The salvation is in you, God. However right. it looks like, however right. it's going to happen, it's in you. So yep. the whole thing was presented to him in a beautiful way of surrendering and trusting.
Yes.
And then it wasn't on him anymore.
Exactly. You know, that's, I have found that over and over. I get stressed when I think I'm the responsible one, that have to solve it. I have to fix it. And especially if I do it wrong.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Oh, if I do it wrong. When I remember God's in charge, and when I remember that if I yield it to him, it's his responsibility. I know, right? And then I'm funnily like, okay, well, if you allow bad things, you allowed them because I asked.
Yes.
And I am too small to fix this mess.
Yep.
So help me, Lord, and help me to trust you if it takes a while to fix this mess.
Yes.
Because I have found at times it does take a while to fix
it
the messes.
It does. So. I know. Like, wait, maybe I should have worked on it. No, give it to him.
Give it to him. Yes. And then give it to him again.
Yep. If we ask for wisdom, he'll give it to us. And so many of my prayers are like, okay, I know you said you'll give me wisdom. I'm asking for wisdom because I cannot solve this problem.
I just can't.
It's too big for me. And then there is a relief that comes from that. You know, I think about our kids again that come to us and they have a big problem. And, oh, I'll help you with that, honey. I have the skills to help you with this problem. And you just see the relief on their faces.
Yes.
It's no longer their burden to bear. Mm-hmm. They've brought it to the person who can take care of it best, and then they can just go play.
Exactly. Exactly. We've got the same blessing with our Heavenly Father.
We're the perfect parents. We are not perfect.
I love it. So, okay, well, we're going to end every session. We start with our Sila lesson, and then we look at our Silas. I have this whole little format worked out here, which hopefully works for all of them. We're going to have three questions at the end as well. Mm-hmm. So, and the first question will differ depending on what our topic is. And our topic this time was dealing with enemies. So what did you learn, Nicole, about dealing with enemies from this passage, and how can you apply it to your life? Because even though we learn a lot from the Bible, we also want to apply it. We want to say, what can I learn from this to help me live better?
Right.
So tell me.
I'm very big into like basic steps because the Lord knows my brain needs that. Uh-huh. And I love how this psalm is laid out kind of in those steps, like step one. Oh, Lord, everything's falling apart. Help me. Present my problem to God. And then sleep on it. Rest in him. Rest in him that he's got the problem.
Yeah.
And then the ending, give him the ending and the glory for whatever he's going to work out, because he will help you.
Yes.
And it may not be what I want or think it's going to look like, but if I rest that I've given it to you, I've poured out my heart, I've given it to you, you've got this, Lord.
I love it.
And then praise him in it.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I said very similar things when I wrote out mine.
Yeah.
We need to speak out loud the truth.
Yes.
And affirm it. You know, David's said exactly what they told him.
Right.
This is what they said, God, right?
This is what's happening around me.
So, and if we feel like all seems lost, we're allowed to say that. Mm-hmm. I feel like despair is turning your back on God.
Right.
We can tell him all the things we feel. That's not turning our back.
No, that's being
that's
honest.
Facing him.
Because we're going to feel those things, whether they're true or not. We feel this upset or despair or depth of pain.
Right.
But telling it to him is not turning our back
on
him.
No, it's the opposite. So, and then we cry out for help until he gives it, and then we sleep. And I think it's beautiful. And yes, I think just seeing it's formulaic, but it helps.
Mm.
And starting with, I get to come to him when I'm in the messiest of places.
Yes.
I don't have to clean myself up first.
Right.
I can just say, okay, so I am a mess today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a total mess. Catherine and I had a phone conversation the other day where we had both had what's the name of that book? Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Awful
Very
Days.
Very Bad Days, yes. Yeah. I love that book.
and we were both a mess. We just were.
Oh.
And so we shared our messes with each other, and then we prayed for each other, and it was gloriously wonderful to dump the messes on the Lord. You know, sometimes you have bad days.
Yes.
You just do.
We do.
So, all right. Okay, so that was number one question. Number two, I'm a verse person.
I love that, though. It's fun.
So my favorite verse was verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. And I look at that and I say to myself, and you, God, can never be taken from me, ever.
Ooh.
So the thing that I'm glorying in is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
He's always my God. Mm-hmm. He's always my shield. and my glory, he'll always lift my head here and in eternity. So I am not putting my faith in things that can fall apart, like earthquakes wrecking your house and a husband dying and, you know, whatever's. I mean, everything in this world is tenuous.
Yeah.
I'm looking to God, who is permanent. And I just love the permanency of it. So verse 3 was mine.
Nice.
How about you?
I love that. I really like verse 5. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. Just, it's such a simple verse, but just where it's placed in the psalm, in the middle of all the trouble. God didn't promise him an answer yet.
Right.
God didn't deliver him, but in the midst of all of his troubles, he was able to completely release that burden to God and sleep. And then saying, the Lord sustained me, that God kept me alive through the night, through my sleep. I could rest in him knowing that I was sustained by God.
Yes.
That's so profound. It's hard. It's hard in the season of life of motherhood where I feel like I have to keep everything going. I have to sustain everything and it's all dependent upon me. And it's not though.
No.
And I can sleep, I can rest and give it to God because he sustains me.
He does. He does. Jesus was a good example of that too when he slept on the boat.
Yes.
There's this mad storm going on and they're scared to death. And he's like, wait, what?
I was having a good dream.
He knew his father had a plan for him and it didn't include him drowning in the Sea of Galilee.
Right. That's true. He did. He's like, oh.
But it was bothering the disciples, so he got up and told the storm to stop.
Right.
It just cracks me up. I love that story.
Oh,
so anyways.
That's so fun.
So good. Okay, Nicole, what did we learn? I always like to think about this with every passage I read. What do we learn about God in this passage?
He hears us. He listens. He's always right there.
Mm-hmm.
He delivers, and he gives that incredible peace that we cannot manufacture on our own or find in any other way.
Right, right. It's so wonderful. Yeah, I had so much. He's a shield. He answers. He sustains. Mm. He saves. And he blesses.
Oh, yeah.
We serve a good, good God.
Me too.
That does not mean that enemies won't come.
Right.
That does not mean that there are times when we might have to run away like David did and be in hiding. Although I really, really hope days like that don't come to me. But if they do, I need to remember they did to David too.
Right.
But even there, he'll sustain us.
Yes.
Even there. And I think that's the hallelujah of it all, is which is why I love thinking, and nobody can take God from me.
No, ever. He's with us wherever we go.
Right. Yep.
That's so beautiful.
It's just such a happy thought.
It makes
me so happy. So, okay, well, let me pray as we end our first Selah season episode.
Yes.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I do thank you that you are the rock, the foundation, the always. You always were, you always are, you always will be. We can put our faith in you, whether we live or whether we die. You never leave us. You sustain us. You lift our little heads and you care for us. I thank you, Father, that even in trouble, and you do tell us trouble will come, and it does. Even in trouble, even in the mess, you stay with us. You don't leave. We are so grateful, Lord God. Lord, help us remember when we're in the messiest places to do what David did, to speak it out loud to you, to come to you and turn to you. Thank you for this lesson, Lord. And also, Father, this week, help us to find silence at least a few times and let you speak to us in the quiet. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We are so happy you joined us for our Selah season. How do you pronounce that word? What are your thoughts on enjoying and seeking silence, our Selah word of the day? And how do you deal with enemies in your life? Write us. We'd love to keep the conversation going. You can reach us through our website at sweetselah.org/podcast or email Sharon at sharon@sweetselah.org. Reviews are so appreciated and so are donations. Go to sweetselah.org/donations to give and write podcast partner on the form so we can send you our monthly newsletter. And then come back next week for our next episode in season 10 that's all about trouble and how to cope. Episode 142, Troubled Times. Thanks so much for listening and have a great week.
We are so glad you stopped for a while with us. The Sweet Sila Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Sila Ministries. More information about this podcast can be found at sweetsila.org. Thank you for joining us.